CEOs, civic leaders, entertainers, and entrepreneurs. They all have something in common: the drive, vision, and heart to achieve success. Steve Klein is a renowned business consultant, author, and host of Playmakers Talk Show. Each week, he introduces you to fascinating personalities who will inspire, educate, and motivate you to persevere and find your own success. And now, here's Steve Klein.
Oliver Wendell Holmes said, "The mind once expanded to the dimensions of larger ideas never returns to its original size." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today are two playmakers who develop larger ideas. Our first playmaker found that motorcycle road racing gave him insights into accelerating learning and enhancing team building, while our next playmaker began his latest venture after four armed felons robbed his lab. With us today is a CEO who co-founded a drone flight controls company, while our next president is a serial entrepreneur having started four companies in Mexico. These great playmakers are Dave Filio. Dave is CEO of the Realtime Group, and Daniel Tovar Nieto, president of Lands USA and Virtual Solutions Mexico. And we're going to begin today's show with Daniel. Daniel Tovar Nieto is a serial entrepreneur, having started four companies with family, friends, a former student, and former professor. Daniel was born in Dallas, but moved to Mexico when he was one and stayed until he completed high school. His first business venture began in 1994 when he and some friends manufactured and sold lipstick cases. A year later, he and a former professor started a consulting company specializing in strategic planning for medium-sized companies. Daniel's third venture, Lands USA, began in 1999 when he took over his parents' clinical analysis lab and increased the business tenfold. In 2004, after having his lab robbed, he began his latest venture, Virtual Solutions Mexico, developing digital surveillance cameras with a former student. Well, Daniel, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you very much, Steve. I'm very happy to be here. Thank
Glad
you for
to have
the
you here too. Well, I mentioned at the beginning that you and some friends manufactured and sold lipstick cases about 20 years ago. Why lipstick cases?
That is a very good question. Well, at that time, we did a little market survey, and we found out that girls, at least in Mexico City, went out to party. And they could leave their purses behind, but they didn't leave their lipstick. So the case was actually a case with a small mirror that was used for them to apply the lipstick. So that was the idea, and we liked it, we did it, and we had fun.
So your market was teens, late teens, early 20s?
Yes. Girls women. From 16 years old up to 24 years. That was our main market.
So that apparently is no longer in existence, or did you sell that?
We sold that company after a year. We were having a lot of fun, but doing a company with friends, starting a company with friends, it's tricky.
Well, I mentioned the fact, and you mentioned this when you had written all the information for me about who you started a business with, and that was 1994. Let's keep going with your second venture, and this was started with a professor. Let's talk about your background. Which professor was it? You went to a couple of different universities, and talk about your education and how it got to the point where in 1995 you started a consulting firm.
Sure. I began my studies in France. I went to France for my first year. I always liked business, but I always loved Europe. So I decided to go there to start. Then I went back to Mexico and began my studies at ITAM, which is one of the top universities in business and in politics, actually. Many of our presidents have gone there. Anyway, they have a beautiful program of entrepreneurship. So the guy responsible for that, Carlos Sedano, who became later my business partner, used to run this program, and we really loved consulting. So we decided to join forces after that first venture was sold, and we began this little company. We wanted to be the McKinsey of the small and medium-sized companies.
Is that still in existence? Is
yes.
Your professor working on that?
Yes, exactly. He still runs a company, and we are very good friends. He's even godfather to my first child.
Well, that was started in 1995, then come 1999. We didn't talk about your parents. Your parents had a business, a clinical lab. Talk about that business and how you got involved in what they were doing.
Sure. My parents were both medical doctors. They began their company in 1968. It was kind of a side business because they developed or they learned a technology that uses radioactivity to determine clinical analysis. So they brought it to Mexico and they began this business doing tests for different doctors and different clinics all over Mexico. For several years, they grew the company, but didn't pay that much attention. It was a side business for them. They worked at a research institute in Mexico City, and they did that just to do something else. In 1992, my father retired, but in 1999, my mom, who was running the company, had a terrible accident, and she had to retire. So it was up to me. I only have one brother. It was up to me to catch that company and to do something with it.
Well, you were able to turn that company into doing $5 million a year, and last year did $54 million. What was the secret to increasing that tenfold in, what, about 15 or so years?
Yes, well, the interesting part about doctors is they are great at doing what they do, but they're terrible managers and terrible salespeople.
Well, with your business background, that probably helped.
Yes, we actually had a beautiful combination. And this is funny because although I call it a family business, by the time I took over, both my parents were out of the company. So really, I had an open book. I could do whatever I wanted. So
we're going to go back to the back and kind of recap your first business with a bunch of friends when you're in Mexico. You then went to university and one of your professors and you got together for a consulting firm. And then you came into the family business and you were building that business. But during that time, 2004, you were robbed. Talk about that story and how it led you to your current venture in addition to Lands.
Well, as you can see, my passion is entrepreneurship. I've lived it. I taught it. I taught for 14 years at three different universities in Mexico, and I just love it. I even visit universities that have interesting programs. I've been to Harvard, MIT, Stanford, Babson College, and in France, I've been to HEC, and in Spain, etc. I just love it.
As so, a visiting professor?
Yes. Courses, programs, interchange. Entrepreneurship now is a very common term, but 20 years ago, it was just a trend beginning to really become something important. We saw a big boom in the 2000s with the internet, but anyway, I've loved it all my life. So going back to your question, when we were robbed, basically four guys decided that they saw too much action in our building. We had a three-story building. Mexico, I wouldn't tell you, is the safest city in the world. It isn't also, or neither, it isn't a terrible city. But anyway, we got that robbery. And by the end of the robbery, we had 32 employees back then. Now we have 90. But back then, we had 32 different versions of each robber. It's difficult to remember the face of a robber if you have a gun to your
gun
head.
Gun pointed at you, that's right. Yeah. So because of that, you weren't able to get a good description, and the police told you to do something.
Yes. They said, you guys need to have cameras. It'll defer the action, and it will give us forensic evidence after the deal is done. So I heard about cameras that you could see through the internet. So I had this ex-student, a former student, that was tech-savvy, and I said, hey, we have to look into this. So he found a Swedish company called Axis Communications, who invented the IP camera. An IP camera basically is a camera that has a digital sensor, so you get digital images from the origin. And then you can send them through a web browser, and you can see everything on the internet. Again, we're talking...
This is 10 years ago.
Yes.
This is new technology.
Exactly. It was only appearing there. So I could see my company through my phone, which was amazing. I mean, this is not only about security. It became a big issue about productivity. We have clients like PepsiCo, like Ford Motor Company, that use this not for security purposes, but for productivity purposes. So it is amazing.
So you then, with that former student, started a company called Virtual Solutions Mexico.
That is correct.
And we were talking before the show started, both LANS, which is your clinical lab, and Virtual Solutions Mexico, which is your surveillance cameras, you're going to be opening up offices in Dallas.
That is correct. A few years ago, we decided to open a new market. Right now, we have clients in Mexico, Central America, and South America. But obviously, we were attracted to the larger market in the U.S. So I decided 2 years ago to move my family back into the U.S. I mean, I had been gone for 40 years, but we decided to come up here and to start these new ventures. So we planned everything, and a year and a half ago, Six months ago, I moved my family here, my wife and my four kids, and we began our first company, LANS USA, actually, LLC. And next month, we will open Virtual Solutions here in the U.S., and we'll start getting into the U.S. market.
Well, will it be a little different than Mexico, or will it be the same?
No, both companies are going to be different just because the market structure is a little different. But this is going to be thrilling because especially if we go into the health sector, all the private equity funds in Mexico are investing in health and energy. So health is a big thing. And here in the U.S., there's no exception. It's beautiful. And the market's so big. There are so many things we can do. So we are creating a whole new company that will start with the clinical analysis as a basic form of providing something into the health market, but we're going to open this into a brokerage. So we are going to be health providers, business to business. That's the basis of the model. So it's going to be different.
Well, right now you have your websites in Spanish. I'm sure you'll be converting those over to an English version, but tell everybody how they could find out more about you if they went to your websites, and tell them what your websites are.
Sure. Yes, our websites right now are lans.mx. That website is already being translated, so it'll be out there in this month. And the other one is v/o.com.mx. Again, we will create new websites actually for this market. So don't worry, you'll be able to see everything we do in English, and especially with the new focus we're giving them. Each company is going to be different. Each company is going to be great. We love the process, and we are very happy to be here in the U.S.
And you can get those websites on our website, Playmakers Talk Show, also. Well, Daniel, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
My pleasure, Steve. Thank you for the invitation. I hope this is only the first of many times we get to talk.
I hope so, too. Daniel Tovar Nieto, president of LANS, L-A-N-S, LANS USA, and Virtual Solutions Mexico. Don't go away. We have more. We're going to speak with the CEO of the Realtime Group. His name is Dave Filio. Back with Dave right after this.
Operation Kindness is the original and largest no-kill animal shelter in North Texas, having saved more than 80,000 cats and dogs over almost 40 years. On a day-to-day basis, Operation Kindness cares for approximately 300 cats and dogs, with another 150 in foster homes. In the past 12 months, more than 4,200 homeless cats and dogs have received medical care, clean shelter, nutritious food, and playtime until they were adopted into a new forever home. Go to OperationKindness.org to adopt or foster a dog or cat. Donate or volunteer. That's OperationKindness.org.
Wipe Out Kids Cancer is a Dallas-based nonprofit organization founded in 1980 dedicated to raising awareness and funding for pediatric cancer research on a national basis. Wipe Out Kids Cancer has raised over $4 million in the crusade against pediatric cancer and spent over 30 years developing programs to not only fight childhood cancer, but to also provide hope and support to kids and families battling cancer. Our mission is to work relentlessly for a day when children are living cancer-free. You can help make a difference. Go to WOKC.org to donate or volunteer. That's WOKC.org.
Welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. This segment, we're going to speak with Dave Filio, CEO of the Realtime Group. Dave has a unique 28-year history of successfully driving the innovation process in both entrepreneurial and corporate environments. As president and CEO of a successful engineering startup, several high-tech company acquisitions, and a division of a major defense contractor, he leveraged his expertise in executive leadership, emerging technology, and engineering to drive results. In 2012, Dave partnered to acquire the Realtime Group. Realtime is an innovative-driven engineering firm specializing in product design and validation of highly regulated and ruggedized products. Realtime's customers typically have an urgent need for project acceleration, along with expertise in medical device, aerospace, defense systems, or industrial controls design process. After a 15-year career at TI designing control systems for guided missiles, Dave co-founded a self-funded drone flight controls company with five other engineers. As the company's president and CEO, Dave and his partners grew Geneva Aerospace from a startup into a multi-million dollar enterprise serving the U.S. Navy, U.S. Air Force, and several military prime contractors. Quite a resume. Dave, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Hi, thank you.
We're going to switch from that, but the question I'm going to ask you is, how does over 3 years of motorcycle road racing and winning three novice racing champions give you insights into learning and team building?
What I learned was, you know, being competitive makes people really step up. It's people are at their best, right? And so, you know, they always say, be competitive, compete for something, be involved in something that's competitive. But when you have to compete in an area where you're not sure what's going on, where you're just a highly uncertain environment, it really takes you to another level. Motorcycle road racing, which I fell into, just kind of funny circumstance, another thing I just wanted to go try to do.
Well, how'd you fall into it? What was the impetus for all that?
I have a unusually high tolerance for risk and get involved in things that I probably shouldn't.
Probably a little pain too, because I'm sure you fell a couple of times.
About 11 now. So anyway, I was drawn to it. I had a friend that got me into it, and I just, more than just riding fast, I just wanted to race. I don't know why. The people that race, it's common with that crowd of people. Anyway, so started racing, and you have to learn really, really fast. It's white knuckles. It's, you know, you're doing something that probably you're not ready to do yet, but you got to compete. And it's really it's exhilarating whenever you succeed at it, right? Because it's coalescing of so many hours of practice and adrenaline and risk and all those things together. But, you know, it's really a great thing. But it also brings out something in you. And I've always been fascinated with people that do that. Maybe that's why I was doing that myself. But, you know, there are people out there that they can be in an uncertain environment and not just perform, not just operate, they can compete. And that's really one of the things I love about this company, the Realtime Group. These are people, they're like the warrior in the arena, right? Every day they're doing something that they just, uncertain environment, uncertain conditions, but they got to perform and they got to compete, right? They got to win. And they do it. That's one of the reasons I was drawn to them and one of the things that makes them a unique company.
Well, let's talk about the Realtime Group then. Why did you acquire Realtime? And you were talking about unique. What makes Realtime unique? Is it what they do?
It starts with the capability. You can imagine they were an engineering firm, mostly consulting, that had been around for 11 years. When you survive that long, you've been vetted. So that vetted group of people is important, right? But they are extremely capable in this area of highly rigorous design engineering. Anything that's mission critical, requires a certification, requires documented testing, but you have to know what you're doing. They have that kind of skill set. But in addition to that, and there's companies that do that, but beyond that, the culture of the Realtime Group is they develop a shared passion for the delivery of the customer's milestone. And if we can't get there with a customer, in other words, when we bring on a new customer or work with them, if we can't get there, we look for those companies that we can facilitate that shared interest. And that's what makes them unique, is driving to conclusion, getting them done, get your delivery successful, and then get out.
Real-time groups involved with high-tech engineering.
Right.
What are the emerging challenges in high-tech engineering? Where is it going?
Well, so this isn't brand new, but it's been going on now for the last half a century. The product development life cycles are getting shorter and shorter, right? Urgency to market. And for complex systems, not just widgets, I mean, things that that take real rigor are getting shorter and shorter cycles. So you got to have capable people that can start fast, get done, get it out. But the other thing that's happening is, well, it's always a challenge with engineering. Engineering talent is expensive, right, to have. And so when they're done, they got to do something with them. And so if you're a product company that's focused on delivery of your product, then you get it done and you're trying to go to market, either your engineers go develop something else or you got a problem. And so that, and, you know, the question plays what, of course, we do, which is outsourced engineering solutions. But that is why there's a great market for companies like Realtime. It's because you need that capability, expertise that gets in, gets it done, gets out, and then they go away.
Hence the name of the group, Realtime.
That's right, do it in real time.
You're doing a lot for the government, for military, and they want it yesterday. And
they
have people that know how to do that.
They want it yesterday, but you'd be surprised at how much faster even the medical device customers we have, the commercial customers, they want it. You'd have already thought of it yesterday and then yesterday.
So to have a company like that, and you've been involved with about 3 or 4 years, you need to have a certain culture which
right.
pulls people together. We were talking about your racing and pulling people together. Your people have to coalesce as a group to be able to think quickly and act quickly together, not by themselves. Is that correct?
Right. They work as teams. They collaborate on every level. It's one of the things that makes them great is they communicate, they work together. There's a leadership team out there that's just fantastic. I mean, there's one of those aha moments I had with this company that realized that these guys know how to run this thing. They just need to run it a little better. You know, give them more responsibility, let them do what they do, and that culture kind of pervades through the entire company. It's very collaborative, because they have to be with the customers, but very interactive.
Well, in reading your bio and background, you are apparently an expert in identifying and recruiting talented professionals. How did you develop that?
By being the least capable guy in the room. It's no secret. When you look around and you know you got it, when you look around and say, okay, yep, they're all better than me, right, at least. And that's easy to find sometimes, but, you know, I get myself into a lot of stuff, right? And you need people that can go get things done. And most of the time, the vision I got is something that I can't fulfill as well. So you got to have those kind of people. And so you just develop that skill.
Well, I think it was Henry Ford that said his success was by hiring people that knew what he didn't know.
Yeah.
And apparently you're like that, too.
Yeah, when you don't know anything, it's easy.
But you are an engineer, so at least you have a basis for what's going on.
Which, by the way, as an engineer, I got to tell you this irrelevant story. Started a long time ago when my wife and I were 18 to 35. One day, her purse was dumped out, and there was this lipstick case, and I swear it had the mirror on it right there. So, and that's innovative. That's one of those moments, and I've had a million of them where you look at it and you say, man, I wish I knew who did that. That is cool. What a great idea, of course. So I didn't even realize that until we had this show that you're one of the guys that invented this. Great job.
So where is the Realtime Group going? What's the future? What type of businesses are you going to be working with
okay,
in the future?
So when we acquired the Realtime Group, the first thing we did, me and the partner said, hey, these guys are more capable than we thought. They can deliver more if we give them more program management capabilities, more subcontract management, systems engineering. So that's what we're about now. It's not a consulting firm. It's an engineering firm. We deliver. We have customers. We do cradle-to-grave design from the voice of the customer, the very concept, twinkle in the eye, all the way to transition to production with the program management that goes with it. So what the Realtime Group is all about is being able to continually expand our capabilities in this area that we're really good at, solving problems for customers that need it.
So are your people actually embedded with that company? They become the creator of the product for the clients you're working with?
So usually what our client has is the requirement, and the market, and they own the product, right? They pay us to go develop it for them, and we do the compliant and innovation, we call it, with all of the design, the implementation, the testing, which again is one of our differentiators, is we also do verification testing. But so it's the creation of the product for their requirements, and sometimes part of that is helping them understand what their requirements are and going and developing from there.
Now, you and some partners developed Geneva Aerospace. Was that something you were still involved with prior to the Real Time Group, or you were had you sold that or gotten out of that?
Yeah, gotten out of that. So that was another one of those cases of working with people that are smarter than you are. I happened to meet these guys when we were working together at TI, and we decided we wanted to start the business, grew it up. I'm very capable, awesome people. And we, you know, I drew the short straw one day, became the CEO early on, and just always was a CEO until we grew it and sold it to L3. Doing the flight controls. A very successful company. We had 5 patents together on autonomous flight controls. Really cool. Yes. And they're still, you know, they sold the company to L3. They're still there working with it and growing the business. It's a successful acquisition, actually. So,
as Real Time Group find you, or as you find them?
So I was working with a family office doing some investment stuff when I was retired. And
you don't seem like the kind of person that can take retirement real easily.
Yeah, that wasn't working out. And then started the motorcycle problem. This family office was doing a lot of technology plays. And I saw this company, this engineering firm. I said, you know, I can do engineering management. Let's go halvesies in this thing. We'll cash flow manage it, and we'll use it to support the portfolio. Due diligence, solving problems, but also, and small investors love this, deal flow for private deals. You see a lot of that in our business, and sometimes we'll see something that's, we take it to the investor and we can help vet it for them, et cetera. So.
Well, it sounds like you're having a great time doing this. It's energized you like your motorcycle road racing.
Yeah, I guess so. You know, spinning off energy is always one of my problems, so it's nice to, you know, have a place to dump some of it.
Well, tell everybody how they can find out more about the Real Time Group on the internet.
So the website is www.therealtimegroup.com. Phone number there is 972-987-9100. We're located in Plano, but we're about to move up to the Tennyson Parkway area up there by Legacy. A new cool facility. We'll make sure you know about that and have a grand opening.
But, and everybody, you and everybody else moving up to that area too should be fun.
Yeah, it's a great area for engineering up there.
Well, Dave, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Yeah, thank you.
That's Dave fun. Filio is the president and CEO of the Real Time Group. We also had Daniel Tovar Nieto, president of Lands USA and Virtual Solutions Mexico, also bringing offices to Dallas. This has been a terrific show. Thank you all so much for joining us. It's been great having our guests on the show. Join us at PlaymakersTalkShow.com. We can get all of our replays and past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and we're going to be back next week with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join him again next Friday at 3 p.m. for another sit-down with DFW's most interesting Playmakers.